The last 3 weeks, the title to my messages in the 11 o'clock hour have been in the form of a question. 3 weeks ago, the question was, why did Christ die? 2 weeks ago, the question was, did Christ die in vain? Last week, we considered the question, who is Jesus Christ? And today, the question and the title of the message is, who are the elect of God? In investigative reporting, along with police investigations, we've mentioned this before, there's a method called the five W's that constitute a formula for getting the complete story on a subject. Investigators often ask, who, what, when, where, and why? And it's my intention this morning to prove to you from the scriptures the doctrine or the teaching of election, and to also answer clearly the five W questions. And if you listen closely to what God says from His Word, not what I say, doesn't matter much what I say or think, but it means everything as to what God says and what God thinks. And I believe that if you'll listen closely to what God says, that none here today will be able to refute or deny the doctrine and the teaching of election without being in willful rebellion to God. No doubt that the scriptures clearly and plainly reveal that salvation is of the Lord, and that salvation is caused by the choosing of God in Christ. First, turn with me in your Bible to 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, if you would, please. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. I'll begin reading in verse 4 of 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 4. So the first question is who? Who are the elect of God? Or we could ask, who does the electing? Both are equally important. This is something that we very much need to know. Here in verse 4, the Apostle Paul writes, knowing, brethren, beloved, your election of God. This is something that God reveals to His children. Verse 5, for our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Ghost and in much assurance. So, first, we see that election has something to do with being made a child of God. All the elect of God are brothers and sisters in Christ. It's my privilege to call you brothers and sisters. The reason that we do is because we're children of God. Election has something to do with being loved by God, the Father, Son, and Spirit. And election has something to do with God coming to you, not you coming to God. Did you notice that there in verse 5? The gospel came not unto you in word only. The gospel came to you in power and in the Holy Ghost and in much assurance. When the gospel comes in power from God, you can be assured that it is effectual, that it'll be effective. It'll be sure. It'll be certain. That's why I cannot handle the preaching that God simply made salvation possible and then somehow leaves it up to the sinner to make it effectual. That's not what God says. That's not what this book declares. God made salvation certain in much assurance. That means for certain, doesn't it? Verse 6, and ye became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Ghost. So I see from this that election has something to do with becoming a follower of Christ. Our Lord said, my sheep hear my voice, and they what? Follow me. Election has something to do with following the Lord, but not just following the Lord, following Him in much affliction, but at the same time with great joy. You see, only an elect child of God can know and understand what it is to follow Christ in much affliction and at the same time with the joy of the Holy Ghost. Because the Holy Spirit produces in a believer that assurance and that confidence that comes from being in Christ. Some say that election kills evangelical zeal. Men say, well, if you believe in election, if you believe God's going to save who God is going to save, then why do you preach? Why evangelize? And the answer is really quite simple. I don't know who the elect of God are. I don't. But God does. And I've been commanded to preach the gospel to every creature, to all nations, to all sinners. God does the saving. That's His business, who God's elect are. Election is not salvation. Election is unto salvation. God, by the foolishness of preaching, has determined, has purposed to save sinners who believe. And they believe only because He determines to save them. But we don't know who they are, so we preach repentance and we preach faith in Christ to all men and women everywhere. Secondly, we have that second question of W. And that's the question, what? What does election mean? It's not complicated. People say, oh, you ought to not get into those deep things. There's nothing deep about it. Election simply means to choose. Who are the elect? They're the chosen of God. Who does the electing? It's God that does the choosing. It's God that does the electing. You know, when we elect government officials, we choose them, don't we? We cast our vote for our candidate and we elect them. And in men's elections of officials, it's majority rules. Whoever gets the most votes gets elected. But with the election of God, there's only one vote. There's only one vote that counts. And that's God's vote. There's only one who does the choosing and who does the saving, and that's God. And that's not hard to understand. Men just don't like it. There's only one who elects, and that's God. And in our nation's elections, a man or a woman running for office can actually cast a vote for themselves. Men and women can vote for themselves. But listen, in the election of God, men and women have no vote in the matter. None whatsoever. Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 1. Just a few pages back. Ephesians chapter 1. Here in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3, Paul writes, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as He hath chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love." Now this tells us some things. It tells us that election has something to do with God blessing the lost sinner. All spiritual blessings and heavenly places come from God, and they are in Christ. And election has something to do with God choosing us before we had a say in the matter, before the foundation of the world, before the sinner was ever born, before the sinner had done any good, before the sinner had done any evil, that the purpose of God, according to what? Election might stand. The proof of election is when God did the electing. And that answers our third W question, and that's when. When God elected a people. He elected and chose a people before they could ever make a decision, before they could ever walk an aisle, say a prayer, raise their hand, come and bow at a mourner's bench, do a work of righteousness. How about this one? Get their lives straight. Before that, God elected a people. Man is not at all in salvation's equation. God chose them in Christ before He ever created the world. Before there was a sinner, there was a Savior. Verse 5, having predestinated us, having predetermined, determining beforehand, that's what the word means, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will. So, election has something to do with God predetermining to adopt some children, which answers the fourth W question, why? Why did God determine to adopt a people? It was according to the good pleasure of His will. As verse 5 says, that's why it simply pleased the Lord to make you His people. Adoption is according to the good pleasure of God's will. Election was God's prerogative to carry out the good pleasure of his own will in the adoption of a fatherless people. As most of you know, I was adopted. When I was, my parents made arrangements to adopt me before I was ever born. Before January 14, 1956, the adoption papers had long since been signed, and the decision of my parents had already been made. That being the case, I had no choice in the matter, absolutely none. I hadn't been born. I had no say as to who my parents would be. I didn't choose my parents. I had not yet been born. It was according to my parents' choosing. It was their will to adopt me. It was their purpose to make me theirs. It was their choice to bring me into their home. It was their choice to give me their name. I didn't know until many years later that my birth mother almost died in giving me birth. I was nearly 10 pounds. But my adopted father, having the same blood type as my birth mother, gave blood so that she might live. In other words, my earthly father gave his blood in order to save me. Had Christ not shed his blood for his people, they would have died in their sin. God not only died for us, friends, but God adopted us and translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, according to Colossians 1:13. So why? Why did the Lord Jesus determine to save his people from their sin? Verse 6, to the praise of the glory of his grace. Election has everything to do with praising the Lord Jesus for the glory of his grace. You see, he alone gets all the credit and all the glory. We can't take any of it. We weren't born yet. It's to the praise of the glory of God's grace that he made his elect people accepted in the beloved. Now, child of God, listen. I want you to see the importance of our election. Again, verse 6, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein, that's an important word, wherein he hath made us accepted. And where are we accepted? In the beloved. The Lord Jesus Christ. So we see that election has something to do with being made holy and being made without blame before God in love. Now, no sinner would have ever been made what God required, and that's holy and perfect, had God not purposed and ordained it to be so. That's just the truth. Only one who is holy is without blame, and only the Lord Jesus Christ can present a chosen sinner unblameable and unreprovable in God's sight. And in the doctrine of election, we see that God determined to do this before the sinner was ever born. Therefore, God gets all that praise and all that glory. Paul told the church at Thessalonica that it is Christ that establishes the believer's heart unblameable in holiness. So we know that only one who is holy is unblameable before God. And salvation has never been about us accepting God. Can we just put that to rest? Well, I accepted Jesus. No, you didn't. No, you did not. It's never been about us accepting God. God must accept us in order for us to be saved. And we must be made perfect in order for God to accept us. Christ, the beloved of God, is the one who makes us perfect and accepted. Accepted in him, the beloved of God. That's what verse 7 tells us. In whom? That's Christ. We have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. This is all about him. Election has everything to do with redemption through Christ's shed blood. Election has everything to do with the forgiveness of sins. Election has everything to do with the riches of God's sovereign grace in Christ. Verse 8, wherein he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence. Here we see election shows us something of God's divine wisdom. You know, only God could have devised a way for him to remain just and still justify the ungodly. Oh, that takes a divine mind and divine wisdom to devise such a way. God can't just sweep sin under a rug. That would make him unjust. God purposed a way that he could remain just and still justify sinners like you and I. Election shows us something of God's divine prudence. That word prudence here means good providence. It shows us something of his good providence and his management of all things. Everything is working together and working together. Man, we can't even fathom that. But he's working all things together for his elect's good. The scripture says they are the called according to his purpose. Only one who is in control of all things can make all things work together. Verse 9, and having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself. You see, the election of God has to do with the mystery of his sovereign will. No man can figure this thing out on their own. It's got to be divinely revealed. The good pleasure of his sovereign purpose, which he purposed in himself, by himself. You see, our redemption is accomplished in, by, and through the perfect work of righteousness that Christ himself did for us. Now look at verse 10. That in the dispensation of the fullness of time, he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him. So election has something to do with God's dispensing in his determined time, the gathering together of his people in Christ. What God purposed in eternity, he always brings to fruition in time. Did you hear what I said? Whatever God purposes in eternity, he always brings to pass. He said, have I not thought and shall I not also do it? Have I not purposed and shall it not come to pass? Why, he's God. Whatever he decides and wants to do, he does. Our God's in the heavens. He's done whatsoever he's pleased. God the Father gave Christ the power and authority of all things. Again, verse 11, in whom? Christ Jesus. Also, we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated. There's that word again. According to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. Now, can I ask you a question? Where do you come into that statement? Being predestinated according to the purpose of him. Him who works all things after the counsel of his own will. Where's what David does in that? Election has everything to do with God's children inheriting what is his. Now you think about that for a minute. Everything that is God's is his people's. He purposed it. He worked this inheritance out after the counsel of his own sovereign will. That's what it says. He works all things that way, and all things for good to who? His elect. The called according to his purpose, as we just quoted. You know, my father worked out my inheritance, and he put it in a last will and testament. Friends, this book called the Holy Bible is God's last will and testament. And it's to and for his elect. Again, why did God elect a people before time ever was? Look at verse 12. That we, his elect people, should be to the praise of his glory who first trusted in Christ. Now, all that I received from my earthly parents in my inheritance was to their glory, not mine. Why, I didn't do anything to deserve it. It was all the result of their hard work. My dad worked two jobs most of his life. My mom worked her life. They didn't have much. But all that they had, they worked for. Yes, God gave it to them. I'm not excluding that. But I sure didn't have anything to do with it. I helped them spend it. But it was the result of their hard work. How much more so is that true concerning God our Father? No child of God deserves, no child of God earns or merits God's gracious gift of grace and faith. Why, to think that we can do something to merit His mercy, His grace and love, it's blasphemous, really. It's just that, it's a gracious gift. For by grace are you saved through faith. That's not of yourselves. It's a gift of God. Not by works, lest any man should boast. It's not our works. It's God's grace. We deserve death. We deserve condemnation. But God gives us an inheritance of everlasting love, mercy, and grace. It's His to give. He can give it to whom He will. Are we going to say that's not fair? You give it to them and not me? No. They deserved death and condemnation too, but God in mercy and grace saved them. Look at verse 13. In whom, boy, we're seeing that a lot. This is about Him. In whom ye also trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. Verse 13 here tells us very plainly that election has to do with trusting in the word of truth. Election has to do with trusting in Christ, who is the word of truth. Election has to do with trusting in the gospel of your salvation. Christ Jesus is the good news of the gospel. Election has to do with trusting in Christ alone, in whom is in Him. And election has to do with being sealed. You see that there in verse 13? You were sealed. It has to do with being sealed. That word means preserved. With God, the Holy Spirit of promise. I know many of you have canned things before. I remember I used to help my mom and dad occasionally can tomatoes. You know, you'd put them in that jar and you'd put the top on. A little bit later you'd hear, and Mama said, there's another one sealed. It's sealed. That means it was preserved. That's what God the Holy Spirit does to and for His elect people. He preserves us in Christ. Election not only has to do with being saved. Oh, this is glorious, friends. Election has to do with being saved forever. What do you believe that you can be lost after God saved you? No, sir, I don't. Not if God saves me, I don't. If I'm saved, I'm always saved. Why? Because He preserves me. He saves me and He keeps me preserved. Pop. Election has to do with being loved with an everlasting love. That's what the Lord said. I've loved thee with an everlasting love. How long is everlasting, Adele? Everlasting. Election has to do with being purchased. Look at verse 14, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of His glory. It has to do with being purchased by Christ. Jesus Christ paid it all. Jesus Christ paid it in full. We're saved right now because of that. There is therefore now, right now, no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. Being sealed and preserved by the Holy Spirit. I love to think about that. You see, I can't do anything to be saved, and I can't do anything to be lost. Not if I'm in Christ. My actions may prove that I never was saved. I'm not discounting the importance of that. But being sealed and preserved by the Holy Spirit of promise is my God's earnest, so to speak. It's God's down payment on the believer's eternal redemption. Christ purchased it with His own blood. And I'm His and He's mine and I'm my beloved's and my beloved's mine. And again, it's unto the praise of His glory. So again, who are the elect of God? Is it the whole world? Is the whole world God's elect? No, sir, they are not. Turn with me to John chapter 17, and I'll finish up by trying to get out of the way as Christ himself tells us who the elect of God are. John chapter 17. Beginning in verse 6, the Lord Jesus says, I have manifested thy name unto the men. And when we see that word men in the scriptures, it means women too. I've manifested thy name unto the men, the women which thou gavest me out of the world. That's who the elect of God are. He says, thine they were, and thou gavest them me. And they have kept thy word. That's who God's elect are. Verse 7, now they, God's elect, have known that all things whatsoever thou hast given me are of thee. For I have given unto them the words which thou gavest me. And they have received them and have known surely that I came out from thee, and they have believed that thou didst send me. That's the elect of God. In verse 9, the Lord Jesus said, I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them. Who? The elect of God. Those that he chose before the foundation of the world, which thou hast given me, for they are thine, and all mine are thine, and thine are mine, and I'm glorified in them. That's who the elect of God are. And now I am no more in the world, but these, there it is again, are in the world, and I came to thee, Holy Father. I came to thee, Holy Father, keep through thine own name those, the elect, whom thou hast given me, that they, God's elect, may be one as we are one. And while I was with them, I started to count these and I didn't. Wish now I had it. It's a bunch. I was with them, the elect in the world. I kept them in thy name. Those, the elect, that thou gavest me, I've kept, and none of them is lost, but the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. And now I come to thee, and these things I speak in the world, that they, the elect of God, might have my joy fulfilled in them. And I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. That has to be talking about God's elect. I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil. And they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. And as thou hast sent me into the world, even so I have sent them into the world. And for their sakes, I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. Do you see who that's talking about?
Yes, sir.
Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word, that they all may be one as thou, Father, art in me and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. And the glory which thou gavest me, I've given them, that they may be one even as we are one. I in them and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. Father, I will that they also, whom thou hast given me, be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory which thou hast given me, for thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. O righteous Father, the world hath not known thee, but I have known thee, and these have known that thou hast sent me. And I have declared unto them thy name, and will declare it, that the love wherewith thou hast loved me may be in them, and I in them. Again, remember the five W's. Who are the elect of God? Every them, they, and these that we just read, they are the elect of God. Do you fit the description of one of God's elect? That's the question of the hour. If you do, it was God that chose you. Secondly, what does election mean? Well, it simply means just that. God chose you. Our Lord said, you have not chosen me, but I've chosen you. Our Lord said that we love him because he first loved us. That's why we love him. When were you elected? I think that's pretty obvious, isn't it? Before the foundation of the world. Before you were born, before you had done any good or evil, that the purpose of God's election might stand. Not of your works, but of him that calleth. He chose you, he called you, he saved you. Why? Why were you elected? It simply pleased the Lord to make you his people. People say, why? Because he wanted to. It's the only answer he has to give. It seemed good in God's sight. You see, he's got the right to do what he will with his own. Our God is in the heavens. He hath done whatsoever he pleased. None can stay his hand. None can say unto him, what doest thou? Whatever the Lord pleased, that did he in heaven and in earth and in the seas and in all deep places. You can't go anywhere in this vast universe that God's not ruling and reigning and on his throne. Where did this election take place? In heaven? On the throne? In the heart of God? In the work of Christ? The question, dear sinner, is really not whether you believe in election or not. The question is, are you one of God's elect? I've shown you to the best of my ability in the Word of God who the elect of God are. Do you fit the description? May God enable you to give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, Peter said, you shall never fail. May God be pleased to make it so for the honor and the glory of Christ's sake. Amen.